Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we are focusing on the church year, so that means we're focusing on years, on times, and on seasons. So it might seem complicated, but I hope I can explain it in a way that is very understandable and hopefully very beneficial to all of us. We understand the calendar year. That's easy, isn't it? We start with January and we go through December. Or if we think about our four weather-related seasons, we think about winter, spring, summer, fall. So we kind of know how that works. Now that's a little bit mixed up, isn't it? Wouldn't it be easier if our four seasons of equal length followed the quarters of the calendar year? Wouldn't that be a little bit more simple? But it's not that way though, is it? So we get into something a little bit different when we come to the four seasons. Well, today as we focus on the church year, I hope we can take a look at it in a way that is simple. As we move through the topic, I hope you can see how following the church year is a good way to keep focused on Jesus. So that's the reason why we use the church year. Now keep in mind the church year, we're not going to find the church year in the Bible. The church year is a man-made invention, so do we have to use it? We don't. But by using the church year, though, it keeps us focused on Jesus. Well, thinking about the church year, let's think about the beginning of the church year. How do we figure that out? Well, we have to find December 25. Then we have to count back 4 Sundays. That's how we determine when to begin. So for this year, we're counting back from December 25. We count back to 12:18. And then to 12:11, and then to 12:4, and then to today. So this is the 4th Sunday before Christmas. So this is the beginning of the church year. This is the beginning of the season of Advent. Now keep in mind, this year is a unique year. Christmas Day falls on a Sunday, so it's impossible for the church year to begin any earlier than today. I want to talk now about the three times. So before we talk about the seasons, we have a little bit more general way of looking at the church year. We talk about three times. So we have the time of Christmas. That's including 3 of the 6 seasons. We have the time of Easter. That's including 2 of the 6 seasons. And we have the time of the church. That's including the final season. Now, it's a little bit lopsided, you might say. But when you think about the first 5 seasons, those take about 6 months. When you think about the final season, that takes about 6 months. So now it's even more lopsided, if you will. But there is a particular reason for all that I'm talking about. I should say reasons, and I'll try to give you some of those as we continue here. So going a little bit further, thinking about the time of Christmas, what are we doing during the time of Christmas? We prepare, we celebrate, we discover. What does that all mean? I'll get to that here in just a moment. What about the time of Easter? Well, we focus and we celebrate. Again, we'll come to that in a little bit more detail. And then the time of the church? Well, we are focusing on living for Christ, even as he lived and died for us. So that's a little bit of a summary there. That's also the summary that's basically on the bookmark that you have. I'm going to mention that toward the end, but that's in a sense kind of basically what's on that bookmark. So by talking about it a little bit more, I hope you'll be able to look at that bookmark and be like, oh, now I get the whole thing based on what it says right there. Well, going further, I'm going to get to the season. So first of all, we're in the time of Christmas, and we have the season of Advent. And like I said, that begins today. So that is the 4 Sundays before Christmas. So I want to come to a special Bible verse with each season. So first of all, here in Advent, I'm thinking about Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. This is where Gabriel came, and he spoke to Joseph. He said to him, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Boy, such an important verse. I'm going to talk about that verse more at the very end of today's service, but such an important verse, so pointing to the coming of the Christ and who he would be and what he would do. Let's go on to the color here. So the color for Advent is blue. Okay, that should be easy. We have blue all over the place. The color is blue. Why the color of blue? Well, of course, some of you know it used to be purple or violet many years ago, so that's a little bit different reason to have that color. That's not a bad idea either. But now that it's blue, though, we can think about the blue sky and how the Son of God is coming out of the sky, if you will. He's coming down. He's putting on flesh. We could think about blue having this theme, if you will, of hope, this idea of anticipation. So those are all things that we think about during the season of Advent. And then we come to the theme. So we have a fill in the blank here. The theme, Jesus is a C word, coming. Okay, Jesus is coming. So during Advent, we are getting ready to celebrate his first coming. And we are also asking God to continue to work in our lives to keep us ready for his second coming. Like I said to the kids, we don't know when it is, so what should we do? We should always, always be ready. So that's a little bit about the season of Advent. And then we come to the second season. That's the season of Christmas. It is the shortest season of all. It's only 12 days long, so it begins on December 25th, and it goes through January 5th, only 12 days. You can think about the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. It fits right in with the season of Christmas, and the song is very interesting and very important, but we don't have time to deal with it now, maybe at another time. Anyway, the verse here, I'm going to go right to the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. So here is the verse in reference to Mary. She gave birth to her firstborn, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Okay, so what is the color then for Christmas? The color for Christmas is white. You know, some people said red yesterday, and I think I've probably have mixed up people a little bit, because when you're trying to do something in color, if you use white, it doesn't really stand out much. So sometimes I've done maybe something related to Christmas in red to make it kind of pop a little bit on the page. Then people are like, oh, the color must be red because Pastor's using red. Well, that's not the case. But anyway, though, it's easy to get that mixed up. But let's ask the question, though, why the color white? Why the color white? Think about it. We have the perfect, holy Son of God coming down from heaven, and we're celebrating the fact that he put on flesh, and now he has been born into the world. So it's all about perfection. It's all about sinlessness. It's all about purity. So that white color is very fitting in that way. And then for the theme here, what is the theme? Jesus is a B word. Yeah, Jesus is born. Okay. When we think about the season of Christmas, it's very short but very joyful. We have so many hymns, and like, how do we get all those hymns into our services because we have such a short season? Maybe we need to have like Christmas in July so we can sing those hymns again. I don't know. We don't have that practice here at Bethlehem, or at least not yet. Well, during Christmas, we rejoice in Jesus, who was long ago promised 4,000 years before he was born. That is when he was promised. So they're waiting and waiting and waiting. Finally, he is born into the world. He is Holy Spirit conceived. And then he is virgin born. I mean, these are such extraordinary things that happen. That is God pointing to his Son and saying, you should know that he is the one because of all these special circumstances surrounding his birth. And then after that, we come to the season of Epiphany. So Epiphany always begins on January 6th. And the verse here I'm going to use is Matthew chapter 2, and this takes us right to what we think about on the day of Epiphany. Going back to Christmas, the day of Christmas begins the season of Christmas. The day of Epiphany begins the season of Epiphany. So that's very logical to do that. I'm going to talk about something a little bit later that is illogical with the church year, but yet it is what it is. So thinking about Epiphany, here's the Bible verse talking about the Magi here, or the wise men. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Think about these wise men, these magi. I mean, they were very intelligent, very wealthy men. And they have traveled possibly 1,000 miles. And here they are coming into the house. And here's a very young infant child. We don't know the age of Jesus at that time, but he was somewhere more than 40 days old. So he could have been maybe 3-4 months old. We don't know. But here they are, bowing their faces all the way to the ground to worship this child. Boy, that should signal to us something special here is going on with this child, the way they approached him, and with the great gifts that they brought him. So much more could be said here. Not time today. Let's go on to the color. So we have two options here on the color. So when we think about the season of Epiphany, the day of Epiphany, the color, well, let me do it this way. The day of Epiphany, and then the first Sunday in the season of Epiphany, that's the baptism of our Lord. The last Sunday in the season of Epiphany, that's the Transfiguration. All those Sundays, well, those two Sundays plus the day of Epiphany, the color is white. The color is white. Now, for most churches, what they're doing in between the baptism of our Lord and the Transfiguration, they're using the color green. Now, we don't do that here at Bethlehem. There are no hard and fast rules with the church here, if you will. It's a man-made thing. We're not breaking any kind of liturgical law or something if we do something different. But it is an official alternative is to be able to use white for the entire season. That's what we do here at Bethlehem. So we're using white right through. Now, do we do that to make it easier for the altar guild? Well, no, that's not the reason, even though that would make it a little bit easier, because changing the altar is a little bit difficult. But that's not the reason, though. The reason is when we get to the theme. So what is the theme of Epiphany? Jesus is God. Jesus is God. This is an important season. Think about it. We have this child, and now the child is worshiped by these men who have come from a great distance. And then we have all these other fantastic things happening during the season of Epiphany. We have Jesus baptized. After he's baptized, he is anointed by God the Father with the Holy Spirit. That's when he officially becomes the Messiah, the Christ. And then God the Father speaks from heaven and he says, "This is my beloved Son." In case we weren't quite sure who he is, God the Father told us himself. And then what does Jesus go on to do? He goes on to do all kinds of amazing miracles. And yet during that whole time, he always looked like an ordinary person. And now we come to the highlight at the end of Epiphany. Now they're up on the Mountain of Transfiguration. Jesus is up there, Peter, James, and John. And everything's kind of normal. And then we have Moses and Elijah appear. And then Jesus' face begins to shine as bright as the sun. Something's up here with this guy. He is truly the Son of God in human flesh. Well, because Epiphany is such an important season, because there's so much pointing to our perfect Savior, we are keeping it white all the way through, because it's pointing to the holiness of Jesus, and we need his holiness in order to make us holy Also, too, think about it like this. We're about ready to jump into the season of Lent, and we must know beyond all doubt who he is before he can now journey to the cross and take away our sins. So that's what Epiphany is about, a very exciting time of the church year. And then we come to the time of Easter, and the first season in the time of Easter is the season of Lent. So Lent is 40 days, but yet 40 days not counting the Sundays. It's actually 46 days, but we say it's 40 because we do not count the Sundays. So those are Sundays that are in Lent, but they are not of Lent. They don't belong to Lent. What is every Sunday of the entire year? Every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter is the big celebration, but every single other Sunday is a minor celebration of the resurrection of Christ. So even during Lent, we are having celebrations of our risen Savior. So that's part of the church year as well. Here's the Bible verse. So we go to Jesus being on the cross, or in John chapter 19. And the Bible says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So Jesus had done everything. He had lived the perfect life. He had received the sins of the world. He had taken the wrath of God, the eternal wrath of God, upon himself. And when it was all done, he said, "It has been paid in full." He was saying, "I have paid the entire price for every man, woman, and child from the beginning of time to the end of time to be with God forever." He paid the whole thing. We should never ever think, "Oh, I better make sure I do this or do this or don't do this or don't do this in order to get to heaven." No, it's all about what Jesus has done for us. We should know that we are sinners. We are helpless. We can't fix it, but he has done everything to fix it for us. Let's know that. Let's rejoice in that. The season of Lent is focusing on what he has done to take away our sins. What is the color? Well, the color is purple or violet. You could say it either way. So with that color, that's reminding us of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a color for his passion, for his suffering. When we think about the great suffering of the very Son of God, that should instill in us sorrow for our sins. When we see a cross, we should be like, "Oh my goodness, that would be so horrible to be nailed to a cross." And yet the Son of God permitted people to do that to him because of his great love for God the Father and for us, because of his perfect obedience to God the Father, because he didn't want to do his will, but he wanted to do the will of the Father who sent him, because he knew that without going all the way, none of us would be with God forever. So when we think about all he suffered, all he gave up for us, that should move us to sorrow for our sins, knowing that it was our sins that put him on the cross. When we come to that season, sorrow for our sins, looking to him as our Savior, and then even joy, so thankful for who he is, for what he has done, knowing that in Christ we are forgiven. So what is the theme? Well, it should be simple here. Jesus died for our sins. Sin is our big problem. There's nothing we can do to get rid of it. So God had to take action. Jesus did everything necessary. And now through him, the way to God is open for everyone. Then we come to season number 5. So we come to the season of Easter. So after, like, such a, in a sense, a depressing season of Lent, you know, Jesus was so determined, it was so difficult, so much suffering. We conclude the season of Lent with Jesus being on the cross and dead, or even buried in a tomb. It just looks like it's over, over, over forever. All the things he said, that's all down the drain. All hope is gone. That's kind of how the season of Lent ends. But then we come to Easter, and it is just such great, great joy knowing that just as he said, they're going to do all these things to me. I'm going to die, but on the third day, God is going to raise me back to life. And that's exactly what God did. So the season of Easter, it's 8 weeks long. I'm not going to get into how we determine the beginning of Easter, but we have to find the beginning of Easter. That's how we find the beginning of Lent. That determines the length of Epiphany. So that's too much for today. But it's 8 weeks long, though. Why is 40 significant with Easter? That is the Ascension. So 40 days after Easter, we come to Jesus ascending into heaven. Why is another 10 significant? Because 10 days after Ascension, that's the day of Pentecost. So there are some very important things going on in the season of Easter. Coming to the color is white. So again, we're focusing on our Savior, who is perfect, who has risen. Even though he took all the sins, he did the full payment, and now he's no longer carrying those sins anymore. They are gone. He is our perfect, holy, risen Savior. The color is white. And the theme, we think about what the angel said. Actually, I forgot to read that. Matthew 28, what did the angel say? He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. So the theme, Jesus is risen. Okay. So during the season of Easter, what should we be thinking about? God the Father is giving us confirmation of some very important things. Like if Jesus would have stayed dead, that would have confirmed to us a whole bunch of negative things. But because God the Father raised him, that's confirming to us some very wonderful things. He's confirming to us, first of all, that the teachings of Jesus, they were all absolutely true. Now, his teachings were radical, but God the Father is saying, believe every word, all of it is exactly true. Also, too, with the resurrection, he is confirming to us that he accepted the payment that Jesus made to take away our sins and to open the way to heaven. We should never be wondering, oh, did he do enough or not? What do I have to add to that? We should never, ever think that. We should know he did the entire thing so that through him we can be certain heaven is open for us. And then what else was confirmed with the resurrection? We should know that for us and our loved ones, death is not the end. So when people die in Christ, what reality is there? Their soul and spirit right away go on to be with God in paradise, in the third heaven, in what we called the intermediate heaven about a month ago. And then their body goes into the tomb. But we know, though, very clearly from the Bible that on the day Jesus comes, every single body that has died will be raised. They're going to be put back together, body, soul, and spirit. And we are going to be with God in an awesome situation forever and ever. So Jesus' resurrection points to that. When we think about having a funeral here at Bethlehem and the beautiful funeral pall goes over the casket, on both sides of the pall it says, he is risen. So that's pointing to Christ being risen. And because he is risen, that means that one day we will be raised. It's all pointing to that reality. Is death difficult? Certainly, death can be difficult. We miss our loved ones. But at the same time, though, when they die in Christ, we know where they are, and we can think to the end, and we can think to this great reunion yet to come when we have the fullness of eternal life. The final season here is the season of Pentecost, also called the season of Trinity. It used to be called Trinity. They switched over to Pentecost. Actually, here at Bethlehem, we use both terms, and I'll tell you why here in a moment. But first of all, a Bible reference here. So we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and Paul is writing here about Jesus. He wrote, "He died for all, so that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." I've never been in this situation, but I can only imagine, though, if you think about someone being in war, and let's say you have three men who are down in a foxhole, and let's say that all of a sudden there's a grenade that's been tossed right into the middle of those three men. Well, they can either all die or be very seriously injured, or one person might give his life in order to save the lives of the other two men. Sometimes that happens. What does the Bible say? Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did for us. When you think about that kind of a scenario, can you imagine the two men who lived? And can you imagine maybe every day they're thinking, I would not be here if it wouldn't have been for my friend who gave his life for me. So maybe you would try to live your life honoring your friend. Or maybe you would go over to where your friend lived and knock on the door and talk to his parents and say, if your son was here, he would be able to help you with the things that you need help with, but because he's not here, I'm here to do for you what he would have been doing for you. In other words, you would feel like so indebted to that person, and you would want to live your life in such a way to honor him and thank him for what he has done. Now, that would be the saving of our physical life. What has Jesus done? He has saved our eternal life. We have eternal living because of what he did. So how much more should we be filled with gratitude because of what he has done for us? So how do we show that gratitude? We dig into the Bible. We find out his will. We try to follow it in our lives. We share the good news of what the Bible says with others so they can know him too, so they can have God's forgiveness, so they can have God's gift of eternal life. That's what it's talking about here with the season of Pentecost or Trinity. Well, the color for this season is green. Okay, we have the green out for a long time. The color is green. So we think about the color green with like new life and so on. We do see a fair amount of green outside now, but boy, when you get to springtime and the plants are coming up and the leaves are coming out on the trees, wow, we see a lot of green. So we think about new life and living and so on. So the theme here is, for Jesus we live. For Jesus we live. He lived and died for us. We should be compelled because of what he has done for us that we would live for him. Just to explain real quick with Pentecost and Trinity, like I mentioned already, the season of Christmas begins on the day of Christmas. The season of Epiphany begins on the day of Epiphany. The season of Easter begins on Easter Sunday. And then we come to this Pentecost season. A bit confusing here. Now, decades ago, the final season was called Trinity. And boy, did that make sense. What is the first Sunday in the season of Pentecost? That is the Sunday of the Holy Trinity. Doesn't that make sense? It fits right in with a number of the other seasons, but somebody had the idea decades ago and said, let's change it to Pentecost. So in a way, that's not such a bad idea. Pentecost is focusing on the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, and we so much need the Holy Spirit. He enables us to understand the Bible. He gives us the power to live out the Bible. So many important things with the Holy Spirit. But actually, though, with the day of Pentecost, you would kind of think that, oh, probably the day of Pentecost would begin the season of Pentecost, but actually it doesn't. So if you take a quick look here at the bookmark, you'll see with the word Easter that the R in Easter is red. Why is that? That's reminding you that the last Sunday in Easter is the day of Pentecost, and the color on that day is red. So it's a little bit odd that Pentecost falls during the season of Easter rather than during the season of Pentecost. Again, it made more sense when it was called Trinity, but both are important though. With the Trinity, it was God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together to create all things. It was God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together to save us from our sins. They are still working together to bless us in all kinds of ways. So whether we focus on the Holy Spirit being poured out or whether we focus on the triune God, either way is a good way to go. Well, I hope you will make use of the bookmark on the church year. Hopefully it's a quick reminder for you. Use it in your Bible or in your favorite book. And I hope with a better understanding of the church year, that's going to help us stay focused on Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of the church year. We thank you for whoever it was a long time ago that put this idea together. It doesn't have to be the way in which we proceed, but it makes sense so in so many ways, and it does keep us focused on Jesus, which is so very important. Help us to understand it better. Keep us focused on Jesus. Keep us ever ready for his return, and even use us to share the good news of Jesus with others so that by the work of the Spirit, they might know him too. In his name we pray. Amen.